Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the podcast ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Jessica Kramus, your host for this series. I'm speaking today with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's teacher and theologian and author of Critical Issues Commentary. Now, last week, we left off talking about centering prayer. Can you give us a little recap of that?
Yes, this Mr. Hertz suggested that you needed to have a certain posture, focus on a sacred symbol or something like it.
Okay.
And for 20 minutes twice a day, work on silencing the mind. He calls it non-conceptual prayer, which, by the way, is an oxymoron.
Right.
And then it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
And so we warned last week about what was wrong with that. But I do have a little section I want to read what I said.
Okay. And actually, for those of you who are just jumping in with us this week, we're talking about his most recent CIC article, issue 138. And you can also find it for the Kindle on Amazon for 99 cents, or it's free on the website. So go ahead with your quote.
Okay. Here's something I wrote and I marked out as something that we really need to use maybe as a transition here to the next concept that we're going to deal with.
Okay.
But this concludes what we were saying last time. Furthermore, I'm quoting myself, if one cannot know the meaning of the clear words of the biblical authors, how can we be more certain of knowing the meaning of silent metaphysical impressions gained through centering prayer and other such techniques? Question mark.
Well, that's a great quote, and it's a great question. If we can't know the concrete, how can we know the non-conceptual, as they say?
Well, you can't.
So why would we be comforted by things we can't know?
A couple different things are going on. Number one, there's a lot of people that grew up in church that don't really know Christ.
Right.
And everybody has troubles, whether they know Christ or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know Christ, you're lacking the fruit of the Spirit because
right.
You're unregenerate. You don't really have the power to live a godly life. You believe that you should because
mm-hmm.
you grew up in a church.
Yeah.
But you keep failing. You got a lot of anxiety, whatever may be going on.
Okay.
Well, this comes along and says, well, here, find out your number on this Enneagram circle.
Okay.
Figure out who you are. Your problem is what everybody did to you growing up. Now, this we've covered earlier.
Yeah.
And because the true self is this pristine self is hidden down there somewhere.
Right.
Okay, so they bring that in. And so somebody who's frustrated and they're thinking, I'm not doing very well. I don't think I'm a good Christian. I need something else. Well, here's something else. Find out your number and follow the practice that they tell you, and you may have this experience with the, quote, totally other,
mm-hmm.
and find true peace, or find the true self, the pristine, unadulterated self that was been hidden or damaged by everything that happened in life, and it's a fake conversion experience.
Wow. So that, to me, does not sound at all like the biblical doctrine of the fall. How would you describe the biblical doctrine of
the
fall?
Okay, so they're saying there's a true pristine self to be discovered through meditative techniques.
Right.
Okay. The biblical doctrine of the fall starts with Eve being tempted by the serpent in the garden.
Right.
Who told her that she could be like God, that she wouldn't die. That God was forbidding something that was good,
mm-hmm.
which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And she succumbed to the temptation, convinced Adam to go along with it, and the two of them ended up naked and afraid.
Right.
They ended up conscious of their own sinful condition.
Okay.
Hiding from God. Okay. Then throughout the rest of the Bible, we see what life is like after the fall,
right,
leading to the flood, God intervening, the seed promises, because right away there was already a promise through
mm-hmm.
the seed of the woman. Okay, so the fall says that man is lost, sinful, alienated from God, and needs God to do something to redeem humans, and the plan is laid out in the Bible.
Right.
Okay, so everyone coming into the world is already spiritually dead.
Right. We have, for as in Adam all dies, also in Christ all will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. We come into the world dead in sin.
Yeah, and in Ephesians 2:1 says the same thing. You were dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so according to the Bible, humans are born alienated from God and spiritually dead.
Right.
Okay. The remedy is the gospel of Jesus Christ and being born again.
Right.
Okay, John 3:3. It says we need to be born again.
Yes.
So in John, we need Christ. We need to be born again. We need to come to him so that we do not perish but have eternal life. According to Enneagram, there is a true self to be discovered. So rather than the fall and humans dead spiritually, you have, with the teaching of these false teachers, a pristine self that's part of the very essence of God that's been led astray by shaming messages, bad parenting, legalistic teachers, or whatever they would say. One of the guys complained that he didn't like the rules they had when he grew up in an evangelical church.
Okay.
So that's why he's doing this now. The others are Roman Catholic, but they don't even believe.
They don't even believe Roman Catholic.
Yeah, they don't believe the Council of Trent, for example.
Right.
They have an ecumenical Roman Catholicism that wants to join with Buddhism and other world religions.
Mm-hmm.
And their heroes are Buddhists and mystics and Eastern thinkers, okay?
Okay.
So it's not even serious Roman Catholicism in regard to the traditional doctrines of Rome, which many of them are false.
Right.
Okay, so they reject the biblical doctrine of the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And when they reject the biblical doctrine of the fall, they're also rejecting a biblical worldview.
Right. So then I would say in the biblical view, sin is internal. We come into the world with a sin nature. It's in us. And the remedy is external. The remedy is Christ. In Enneagram theology, sin is external and the remedy is internal.
Very good. Very good. You get an astute reading award.
All right. Do I get free coffee?
Yeah, we do that in Sunday school. Somebody has a good reading. See, we're wanting to know what God said in the Bible, just for our listeners who wouldn't be in our Sunday school.
Yeah.
I had a teacher once who would say that occasionally, and that was like the highest honor. He was one of my favorite teachers. He said, this is going to be a unique seminary class. We're going to just read the Bible and learn how to read.
Oh, what a concept.
And we'd be going through Matthew, and what did Matthew say? What's the context? What's the point? What's the point of the author?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody could see how it connected with the Old Testament, with other passages of Matthew, to bring out the meaning, and did so very astutely, he'd say, that's an astute reading.
All right.
And that was my favorite teacher. So we do that occasionally in Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Jesse, you just had one of those.
All right.
We have alienated sinners dead in Adam needing to be reconciled to God.
Okay.
In Enneagram, you have people who were pristine parts of the essence of God, who got off track through processes of life, who need to get back to what they previously were.
Wow.
And that's... so it's ridiculous, really.
Yep.
So we need the substitutionary atonement in the death of Christ for sins so that we can come alive. They say we were alive. We need to get back to what we used to be.
Right. You have a quote in your article about reconciliation. Can you share that with us?
Yes. It says this. Salvation is taught as the reconciliation of previous enemies. Romans 5:1-10. Not finding the other through solitude, silence, and Eastern meditation practices. The salvation Paul spoke of in these and other passages requires turning to God in faith.
Amen.
We were enemies.
Yep.
We weren't just looking for God in all the wrong places,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to be good people, but we just got off track somewhere. We were lost, alienated sinners.
Yep.
Dead. In darkness. Conversion is called going from darkness to light.
Yep.
We were in darkness. There wasn't some light that was there that got put out. We were born dead. See, we need the biblical doctrine of the fall. A lot of evangelicals don't like that doctrine. That's part of what their problem is.
Right.
They want to be seeker sensitive, so they don't want to tell people they're dead sinners.
Of course, the problem is there are no seekers.
Oh, yeah, none seek after
that's
God.
That's a whole different program.
Yeah, we've covered that in other programs, but we need faith in God. Jesus said in John 14, 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And so Jesus is the appropriate object of our faith.
Right. Now, you go on to say in your article, in stark contrast, Enneagram teaches that we are the object of God's faith.
I got to wonder if this stuff, which we know it is coming into Christian universities and Bible colleges and mission organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody even know Christian doctrine anymore?
It doesn't seem like it.
These books are being sold to Christians. Do they even know what these people in the book are claiming? Maybe some people just go looking to find their number, and it's like a little parlor game. What's
yes.
your number?
Right.
What's the number of your child or your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
Or it may be all it is to some people, but there's a real serious problem with all of this.
Right.
Let me quote Richard Rohr, who shows up in all of these books, by the way. Richard Rohr is like the hero of Enneagram.
Right.
All right. Listen to what Richard Rohr says.
Okay.
Because we quoted Jesus saying, believe in God, believe also in me. Here's what Richard Rohr says. Quote, God believes in us.
Wow.
This is the basis on which we can believe in God. So we got to know God believes in us.
You know, right. Most unbelievers think there's some spirit being out there that just loves them and everything's happy.
Well, he goes on to say God trusts us.
Oh, wow.
And hopes that we return to compliment.
It's the Mr. Rogers God.
God,
won't you be my neighbor?
Oh, God trusts you. Why don't you be nice to God? He's sitting there hoping that maybe you'll be nice to God and trust him. He goes on to say, this is on page 141 of Rohr's book here, The Enneagram, A Christian Perspective. It's a pagan practice. There's no Christian thing to it.
Okay.
Because God has confidence in us, we can develop a healthy self-confidence. So God believes in me. God trusts me. God has confidence in me. I don't believe it. That's false. And we know that it's false from the Bible. I'm going to quote Jeremiah 17:5.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see if God trusts man.
Right.
Quote Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, that's Yahweh, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. So if you trust in mankind, you're cursed. And they're saying God does?
Wow.
And he wants us, according to Enneagram, have a healthy self-confidence. The Bible curses anybody who trusted man.
Yeah. Go on and read Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
All right. Let's go on here. Here's what Jeremiah says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, again Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Now we know that Jeremiah 17 gives an alternative. You either trust in God or trust in man. Jeremiah 17 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Blessed is the man who trusts in God.
And they're saying God trusts in us.
Right. And we therefore we should trust in us too.
Wow.
if this is adopted, everything about Christ, God's nature, the relationship between God and man, the nature of humans after the fall, the nature of salvation, the nature of a biblical worldview, the very promises of God, the threatenings of eternal judgment, all go out the window. Everything. If you adopt this, dear listeners, you are forthrightly rejecting God, rejecting biblical Christianity, rejecting Christ, rejecting the gospel, and turning yourself over to the forces of the universe and hoping that God lied, because otherwise you're going to end up in hell.
Wow. That should be stunning.
It is. How is this getting into our colleges? Does anybody still know anything about the Bible?
Those colleges would do well to listen to your professor and just sit down and read the Word of God and hash it out.
Dr. Versiput was the teacher I admired so much, and he helped me. And his help, he passed away at the age of 53 of pancreatic cancer. And I was honored to be able to be in his class when he was healthy. But he helped me learn how to read. The biblical author determines the meaning.
Right.
Dear listeners, if you just learn how to read the Bible, none of this stuff that's being promoted by Richard Rohr and these other authors would ever get past your doorway of discernment. You wouldn't let it in.
Right.
So why is it coming in? Why are these teachers of spiritual formation, which is not a biblical idea, bringing it in? Do they have no clue whatsoever about what the Bible says? If you're into this and you're somewhere where they're promoting it, I'd say if you're in, get out.
Yes.
Number two, just take Jeremiah 17 that I just quoted. Take it to your teacher and say, read it, or read it in class and embarrass them. Say, let me read this. How does that comport with what we're learning in Enneagram? Cursed is a man who trusts in man. Either an Enneagram is a lie and false, or the Bible's a lie and false. They can't both be true. Which one are we following here at this so-called Bible college? What do you think they're going to do? What are they going to say?
You would think there would be no response, I would guess it's going to come down to your being divisive.
Dividing Christians from pagans
right.
would be a very good thing to
do. And honestly, if they say you're being divisive, say yes. Yes, I am.
Somebody needs to divide truth from error, right from wrong, heaven from hell.
Right.
Where do you think we're going to end up if we go into the silence? You're going to end up in heaven?
Yeah.
So cursed is the man who trusts in man. Those who trust in God, according to Jeremiah 17:7, are blessed. And think about this. How can you trust in God if you have no concepts in your mind and you're in utter silence?
Your mind has to be working to trust.
Right.
It's an active thing.
It's an
thing.
Act
you
of the human
trust.
Soul, the mind, will, and emotions. Trust is an act of the human soul that requires a concept of who it is you're trusting and why.
Right, and who you're trusting is very important.
Right, and has God revealed his person and work and nature and the terms for how we come to him in the Bible, or hasn't he? And if he has, then I would go one step further. Do we even care what the Bible says at all? Is it a worthless book? Is it something that we don't need anymore? What do they think about the Bible?
If we truly believe it is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, then why would we turn to these other things?
I don't know. I don't think they even know what's in the Bible. I think they use it to find a sacred word to meditate on.
Okay.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I wish they would take it seriously. But if you didn't know the Bible before, you're going to know it after you listen to this podcast or YouTube video, okay? Let's see what Jesus says about this pristine self that needs to be found in the inner person.
All right.
And that's in Matthew 15:19.
Okay.
Here's what Jesus said. Quote, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders."
Well, so is that what we're supposed to be going back to?
Well, unfortunately, if you go into the silence, all of that stuff is going to come pouring in on you. It's not good.
No.
We need a heart transplant.
That's what we need. And once we have that heart transplant, once we hear the gospel, which is a concept that has to be spoken and heard and understood, once we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel, and we repent of our sins, and we turn to Christ, we become dead to all those things. We don't go back to them. We die to self.
I was just writing a sermon for a few weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was including in my applications Ezekiel.
Okay.
And there's a promise where Yahweh says, "I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. There's that heart transplant.
Yeah.
We need God to change us from the inside out. But if we start with the way we are and we feel some kind of anxiety or need, so we go into self to try to find this true self, which we'll be talking about later. But anyhow, if you try to do that, beware, because where you're going, if you don't really know Christ, is the source of evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and fornications and thefts. It's not good.
No.
The old self is wicked. Now, remember Rohr said God trusts in you or God believes in you?
Right.
We quoted that. Let's see what it says in the Bible.
Okay.
John 2, 24 and 25. Remember now, Jesus is fully human and fully God. I'm going to quote that. "But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man."
So Jesus just completely refuted Rohr.
Yes.
Who are you going to listen to, Jesus or Rohr?
Yeah, what did he know was in man? Murders, adulteries, evil thoughts, false witness, slanders, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks from within the heart. And it says he wasn't trusting himself to man.
Right.
Because he knows they're wicked sinners. So Rohr says God believes in you. The Bible says Jesus doesn't trust man.
Right.
Well, it's pretty stark contrast. You're either going to believe these false Enneagram teachers, or you're going to believe the Word of God. Is there any evidence that the Word of God is true? There's tons of evidence.
Yes, there is.
And we've dealt with that. That's the whole realm of apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff in CIC about that. Is there any evidence that Enneagram is true?
They don't even claim that it's scientifically proven.
Yeah,
or any,
yeah,
it's not exactly scientifically proven. It's not theologically proven. There's nothing.
It's not biblical.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that before. Deuteronomy 29:29.
Yep.
It's not biblical. It can't be derived from observing nature.
Right.
We know it comes from pagan sources because they brag that it does.
Right.
It's occult. And the occult is forbidden.
Right. So after you quote John 2, 24 and 25 in your article, can you just read those next couple of lines? That'd be a good way to close out this program.
Okay. Quoting the article. Rohr's claim that God believes in man is patently false as far as the Bible is concerned. There is no innocent, pristine self to be found on which God places his faith. Humans are wicked sinners and need conversion, not self-discovery.
Amen. We will pick up there next week. For Critical Issues Commentary, this is Jessica Kramus.
And Bob DeWay.
We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, "Stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel."